Hello, and thank you so much for joining me, Linda Reagan, today in the KKRN studio for November's Scratched Up Players Presents Arts Around Town. I'm in the studio today with Reagan Reagan, our producer, and Lily Dubois, our technical wizard, without whom this show would not be possible. It's very exciting this time of year when the holidays begin with all the colorful productions we associate with the season. It's especially wonderful this year after the bleakness of 2020. But before we get on with theater business, we have other business to conduct. This November, friends of KKRN Community Radio have a unique opportunity to support KKRN through North State Giving Tuesday. This special day of giving will be held on Tuesday, November 30th, from 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time until 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Starting on November 16th, donations to KKRN and other Shasta, Siskiyou, and Tehama County nonprofits can be made at northstategives.org. Giving Tuesday is about local people helping local community groups. You can give where you live. If you have any questions about Giving Tuesday, or you want to know more about listener-supported KKRN Community Radio, please call 530-337-1101. And now this year feels like old times with so many great shows to see. My guests today will be two of the stars of the Riverfront Playhouse radio on stage version of It's a Wonderful Life. My other special guest is the one and only Don Tamblyn, an actor who stands out in any role, and this month is starring as Henry II in The Lion in Winter at Axiom Repertory Theater. The play opened Friday, November 12th, and runs through to Sunday matinee, November 28th. Tickets are available online and at the box office. Axiom's Christmas show will be the stage version of White Christmas, which begins December 10th and closes Wednesday, December 29th. We plan to have a guest next month to tell us more about that production. I have to confess my first two guests are my co-actors in the Riverfront Playhouse Christmas production of the onstage radio play, It's a Wonderful Life. But they are new to me and I believe to the Riverfront stage. My first guest plays piano and all our musical interludes, scene changes, and also has an acting role. And I think he sometimes does some sound effects for us. Gary Corum, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Gary, I know so little about you. How did you come to audition for this play?
Well, I actually was in 12 Angry Men with John about a year ago and enjoyed that a lot. That's the first thing I'd ever done for Riverfront. And so I thought I'd like to do that again. And turned out he was looking for a piano player, so that worked out well for me. So.
Yeah, it seems to be going well.
Yeah.
And you're doing sound effects, too. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I think you got roped into that.
It's going to be fun. I think I got the thing I'm looking forward to most is the splashing.
Splashing.
Yeah.
For those of you who have never seen a radio play, all of our sound effects are on stage. And there's some very ingenious ways of coming up with those things.
Yeah.
So how did you get into theater?
Well, the first time since high school was when I did the play a year ago.
Okay.
So I did a few things in high school. I was in music, so we did some musicals and a couple of plays also, but nothing since that.
I think that's true of a lot of us in community theater. We started in high school or junior high.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you think the play is going? Is it fun?
It's fun. I think it's going really well. In fact, the director, John, has decided to cut back our practices, and I think I agree with that. I think we don't need to learn our lines.
That's helpful, because we have
our scripts.
Yes, we read from our scripts.
I think it's going well.
Good. And are you looking forward to doing anything else next year? Or?
Don't know. It depends on what comes up. I'm not, I'm an amateur, so I'm not going to be trying out for the leads or anything like that. So.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I was talking about Don Tamblyn earlier, and I don't know if you've ever seen anything he's done.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the play with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, even if he has a tiny role in something, I mean, that's how I saw him first, was in a small role, and I went, oh, my God, that guy is amazing.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. It was something. Yeah, that was a good production, and that was also directed by John Welch.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I'd really just became the person I was playing, and it was I just look forward to it every night.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anything else you'd like to add about the production? It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I think it's a nice show for the season, and it's heartwarming, but it's also going to have some humor in it, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think it's funny, and it's got a lot of different things that you don't usually see. You don't usually see sound effects, you know, that are being done. They're usually recorded.
Right.
And it's really very unusual.
Yeah, and all the actors contributed to coming up with the sound effects. So it's going to be interesting for the audience, I think.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope it'll be something really unique and different. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate your being here. So my next guest is Monty Whitaker, and he is acting, and are you doing any sound effects for It's a Wonderful Life?
Non-intentional, probably. Maybe.
So I just met Monty when we started this production, so I don't really know anything about him, and I don't know. I assume this isn't your first play.
No, well, actually, I in high school, it was the only time that I was involved in anything like this, and I did a couple plays in high school.
Same thing, huh?
Yeah, at San Bernardino High School.
All right.
Yeah, back a few years ago.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
It's been that long, really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It has. Yeah.
You do such a great job with all those characters.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I've always been interested in kind of infatuated with, I don't know if that's the right word, but the voice and the spoken word and all of that. Yeah, I write songs. And,
oh, you do?
Yeah, and I do that. So I've always written and kind of done like some poetry and stuff like that. And I've always been fascinated by the human voice and the power of speech and words. And so, yeah.
What about plays? Do you write plays? We're always looking for plays. Well,
no, but I've got one that I was thinking about, it, actually. I was going to talk to John about it and see what he thought.
Good.
I do have an idea for something.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
So what brought you to audition for this? What made you think of that?
Well, I am retired. I've been retired since 2018. I worked for 40 years at the cement plant in Mountain Gate. And my wife is a nurse practitioner, and she's worked the same amount of time in dialysis in the Reading area. And I just finally got kind of freed up and I've thought about it before, wanting to do something, get involved in some way with Riverfront. And I knew Dan Kupski. My son was in Scouts with Dan, and so but it's something that I've always kind of had an interest in, but really not had the time or opportunity to get out and pursue it.
Great. Well, I'm really glad you did.
Well, thank you.
it's a lot of fun.
It is so fun. Oh, my God. And what a great venue, the Riverfront, the Playhouse, and everybody that I've met that's associated with. It's just such a good bunch of
theater people are good people.
Yeah.
They really are a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So are you planning to audition for anything else coming up?
We'll see. Who knows?
Playwrights Night Out is tonight for all of you out there. If you've never done anything, it's a place to go and audition. I think it's tonight at 6 and tomorrow night at 6 at the Riverfront Playhouse.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So the possibility.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know, have you ever seen Playwrights Night Out?
Oh, that's tonight. That's what you're...
They're local plays.
Oh, no, I haven't.
They're local plays that, and then they have actors audition, come in and just read something, and then the directors sit there and they pick out the actors
okay.
to come in and
oh, okay.
And
it's kind of improvisational
parts.
Thing?
Yeah. No, it's a script, and you don't have to memorize.
Uh-huh.
You can just read the script.
Well, I have a photographic memory. I do, but I don't have any film.
I'm jealous.
No film. Very slow shutter speed.
Anyway, for any of you out there who think you might like to audition, it's tonight at 6 and tomorrow night at 6, and it's really low-key.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I've participated in years past.
It's been a good experience all around for me. I've loved it.
Yeah, great. glad you've been enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure. It's very nice meeting you and being involved in this. And like I say, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And like Linda's saying, too, for people that haven't tried something like that, spread your wings out a little bit and jump in the water. You might just like it.
Yeah, and Playwrights Night Out is a good way to get started because there's just no pressure at all, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be. I'll have to check it out probably. Do we have a rehearsal tomorrow night?
Yes.
Do, I think.
Yes, we do.
And this is going on at the same time as that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm going to make another one or something, but anyway.
I may have given you the wrong information. Maybe it's not tonight and tomorrow night, but I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, I will double check that before we air this.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to get to know you.
Yeah, same here.
So now I want to introduce you to my special guest, Don Tamblyn. I've been talking about him with other actors here, hopefully not intimidating anybody, but he is one of my favorite actors on stage, and I think he knows that. Anyway, I'm really happy to have you. Thank you for coming, Don.
Well, thank you for having me.
Very exciting. You're going to be Henry II in The Lion in Winter.
I am indeed, yes.
And that's with Vicki Richardson as Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Correct.
And who else is in it?
We got Keith Rose as Richard, Alex Clayton as Jeffrey, Cole Castle as John, Madison Nascimento. How do you pronounce her names?
Nascimento?
Yeah, Nascimento. Is that how
it's
pronounced?
I
don't know.
I think so. Something
like
that.
Oh, we're going to get in trouble for that one.
Nascimento.
She's playing Alice, and then we have Gabe Newman as Philip II of France.
Mm-hmm. And it's being directed by Tim Nascimento.
And Lauren Staffield.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what got you into acting initially?
We're going to go back that far.
Yeah.
Huh? Kind of think it's just been an inbred thing in me ever since I was a little kid, you know, playing makeup and stuff. When you're out with your friends, The first thing I can remember doing as a what you'd quote stage, you know, play or whatever was a classroom in second grade. We did a play, and I did play a king. This is the second time I'm playing a king.
Only the second time. You have quite a career.
And it was just a classroom thing that we did when we were in the second grade. My actual stage debut, where I actually was up on a stage, I played the magician's assistant in a variety show. So my stage debut, I was in drag.
We like to do that.
Well, of course. And then in junior high school, we had an after-school program, drama club, that started when I was there. And I decided, I'm going to, you know, try out for that. And for my audition, I did a routine from Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner's 2013-year-old man, because I'd been listening to that. And it was a phone conversation between Al Jolson and Irving Berlin. Neither of those names meant anything to me other than it sounded funny to me when I heard it. So I did my job. Oh, Jolson, Irving, this is Al. What are you doing? And they did the drama club. Got into high school. Formal drama training started there. So from that point on, I've been doing theater now for 46 years straight.
And you were mostly in the Bay Area?
For most of the time, yes. Yes, I moved up here 15 years ago. And even when I first moved up here, I was going back down to the Bay Area because, you know, I had my friends down there and missed living there. But after 10 years of doing that, I got tired of not being at home.
Yeah.
I like my house. I like to sit around my own place when I'm after a show. And, you know, even though good friends, it's like, it's someone else's house. You don't feel as comfortable as you do at your own place.
Yeah.
So I got back involved here in the Reading area. And
well, you were in New York for a while, too, weren't you?
I was in New York for 9 years, yes. And I had one production I did in New York, and that was a NYU student production. And I took, for the first 3 years, I was doing classes, HB Studio, and then auditioning for shows, but never got one, that stuck. I got cast in a couple things that fell through, but and they weren't Broadway shows. They were, off Broadway type things and all that. Yeah, the competition there is very stiff, number one. And when I was there in the 80s, Broadway was not at its peak performance.
There wasn't that much going on.
Mostly
like
Andrew
now.
Lloyd Webber musicals and extravaganzas like Starlight Express. And, not my niche of theater.
You weren't going to be on skates, huh?
No. God. Yeah, they say break a leg, I would have.
Yeah, what a nightmare. Oh. So what was your first play here in Reading?
Foul Play in French Gulch.
Where was that?
That was at the Riverfront. Lisa Collins and Bill Collins directed it, and I believe they wrote it as well. It was a melodrama that they used to perform around, and so they restaged it, and I got cast as the evil villain Wesley Lamar.
Oh, great part.
Yes, it was.
So fun.
And then, like I said, for 10 years, was still going down the Bay Area. So the next production I did was in 2016 at Riverfront. And that was the man Who Came to Dinner.
That was the first time I saw you.
Right. And I played the walk-on part of Beverly Carlton, the character based on Noel Coward.
You were absolutely stunning.
I really liked it. Actors always, when you're younger as an actor, you always want the big parts. You want the large parts, It's like, As you get along, you kind of go, it's kind of nice to have a part where you can just walk in, have your moment, and then leave.
it was really astounding.
That one, I felt like the guest appearance.
Uh-huh. That's what it seemed like,
Ten minutes on stage, and then you're gone.
There are no small roles. It's really true.
Exactly.
And you proved it. So what's next for you after this?
Who knows? I don't plan ahead that far. Well, I will see what other plays come up as time goes on. Getting the part of Henry is actually one of my goals in life. For the last 20 years, I've been waiting to be able to play this part.
That was your bucket list.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, after
after the last year. God.
Yeah, it's been... See, when we start the show, it'll be pretty much 23 months since I've been last on stage. And that's a long time to not do anything for a ham actor.
So what did you find to do all that time?
Sit around my house and watch a lot of videos. I've watched so many Netflix shows. I'm so tired of Netflix. I never thought I'd get tired of watching movies and TV, but boy... I am.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I'd be breaking leaves at my house, doing the normal household stuff. But yeah, there were, pretty much I'm secluded up where I live in Lakehead as it is, so when the shutdown orders came, it wasn't so much that it changed my lifestyle any. It just was psychologically, it's like, I can't go anywhere.
I can't go anywhere. There's nothing open. There's no place to go.
And where it used to be, it was like, I don't want to go anywhere. Once you're told you can't, it's like, I want to go there, though. And then not being able to do theater, really, was, it's like, that's my social outlet,
Yeah.
Do it 2 or 3 shows a year, I'd like to be able to do that. I'd like to be able to do more, but living up in Lakehead, the traveling back and forth is a bit...
It's been a bit sticky at times, I know.
There was
snow 1 year.
Yes, and getting expensive with the gas,
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, when I did my first show, Foul Play at French Gulch, I was heading to the show, and traffic got backed up before we got to the Pitt River Bridge. I was like, oh, my God, I'm up on the hillside. I'm still about 5 minutes away from the bridge itself. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm supposed to be there now. This isn't good. Fortunately, you have cell phones these days, so I was able to call them and say, I don't know what's going on. Something happened on the bridge. I can't get through. And they said, well, we'll hold the curtain. And finally, the traffic broke up. A truck had jackknifed or something there. And I got there, and it was about 10 minutes before the show was planning to go on. And I just quickly got in my costume. So the show actually went on time. And I had a line that had something to do with me being late for some reason. And I had a bunch of reasons why I was. And so I threw in the fact that I got caught at the Pitt River crossing.
Oh, and everybody loved that.
The audience just went hysterical because I think they had announced that they might have to hold the curtain because of what was happening. So, and I was like, oh, that was cool. I was able to do it in a period piece because it's 1800. So I didn't say the bridge. I said the crossing. I was like, I was very proud of myself for that ad lib.
Do you often ad lib?
Only if I forget what I'm supposed to say, or there have been numerous times where other actors have dropped a line, or I was in a production down in the Bay Area called Bloody Murder, and we had the actress who was having trouble almost on a nightly basis with parts of the show. So it got to a point where it was actually, kind of like, well, you're going to have to do it. And so I would prepare myself just in case. And that's why you need to not only know your lines and your partner's lines and everyone else's lines, you need to know the through run of the show so that you can, if something like that happens, you can carry on. When I did 10 Little Indians back in 93, the recording that starts the play, the reason why all these 10 people have gathered in to this manor house, it started playing and then it stopped. And it didn't come back. And now you have 10 actors sitting on stage, looking at each other, going, okay, this is setting up the entire plot of the show. This isn't good. So we just started, I think from what I just heard there, the reason that I'm here is because, and we gave our own reasons that would have been.
Would have been what they would have said.
And it was like, from that point on, I was like, I don't want any pre-recorded dialogue like that. If it's something supposed to be a recording, I want someone on a microphone backstage reading a script because I don't trust technology for that, for that kind of thing. Anything can happen where it just won't happen.
And keeps you on your toes.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be on your toes. Oh, gosh. Well, I'm really excited to see this play.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a fun play, for one
thing. It is
a
fun play, and they're selling it as a comedy, which
it
is. There is a lot of comedy in it.
It's not a dark comedy. It's a dramedy. It's a dramatic comedy. It has it's a very witty, well-written play.
Very witty.
And, it takes place in the 12th century, but it's not done in, old English or anything like that. It's done in modern vernacular, and so it's very relatable, and it's basically reminds me of the old radio show, The Bickersons.
I could see that.
They just at each other constantly.
Yeah.
And it's, 12th century dysfunctional family comedy drama.
Yeah, just like all the rest of us.
Yeah, it's, holiday gatherings. You know how they can be sometimes. The family
What family doesn't have its ups and downs?
Exactly.
I think I'll never forget that line. Anyway, I really appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you were going to come to town anyway.
Yes.
I would hate to.
Have to get some supplies. We live up in the boondocks.
Good. So you open on?
Friday the 12th.
And Friday the 12th.
Right, and running through the 28th.
And the show starts at 7:30.
7:30 for the evening shows on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 o'clock for the matinees on Sunday.
And you're closing with a matinee on the 28th, I believe.
Yes. On the 27th, we're having a matinee, which didn't get put on our poster.
Oh.
And I mean, it was originally on our schedule, but when I saw the poster, I thought, oh, I guess maybe they, you know, decided not to do that. But I got a text from a friend who's coming up from the Bay Area saying, we got our tickets. What date? 2 o'clock on the 27th. I'm like, oh.
Oh, there's a show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it's like, well, I'm going to, everyone, day, you know, after Thanksgiving, you want to see a family drama comedy that will remind you of your Thanksgiving dinner. Come see our show that Saturday afternoon.
Yes. Have you done two shows in a day before?
Down in the Bay Area, we did a couple shows down there that we did that. I kind of like that. I prefer doing a Saturday matinee than doing the Sunday matinee.
Yeah. Because after Saturday night, you're...
Right.
That's enough.
Yes. But people love the matinees, and I'm also a night owl, so matinees are kind of antithetical to my, you know, persona. It's like, no, and theater to me is always a nighttime.
Yeah, it was for me too, but now that I'm old, it's I can stay awake at the matinees. And I can stay awake at night if the play is good enough.
Our play will be good enough.
And your play will be fabulous. I just can't wait. I'm very excited about it.
I am too. Like I say, I've been waiting to do this role for 20 years, and I hope I do it justice.
And I heard that the relationship between Henry and Eleanor was really good, between you and Vicky.
I think it is, yes. I think we've got a good rapport going.
That's what I heard. I've heard good things.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Hopefully you'll all go out and see this show, because it's not a musical, and it's...
No, but it's very entertaining.
It is.
It's very wittily written, and I think we're performing it in a really nice way. And
Axiom always does good shows.
And I just hope, I hope people will come to see it.
All right.
You've been locked up in your houses long enough. Get outside for a while.
Yeah.
And see something.
I've noticed on the other shows, people are really glad to get out.
Yeah.
They're really happy. So come and enjoy the show.
Please do.
All right. Thank you so much, Don.
I really
appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, November 30th is Giving Tuesday. And you can donate to KKRN online at northstategives.org. For more information, check out kkrn.org and our Facebook page, KKRN 88.5.